Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen and I'm the host for this portion of the show. Tonight I'm honored to be joined by Rebecca, who is a longtime participant in the Sangha, who also generously donates her time to do the Reflective Listening Buddies program. She coordinates the program. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, Jen.
Thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, this is fun. Thanks for inviting me.
So the reason we thought of this topic for tonight is that I think the deadline for signing up is coming right up, isn't it?
Yeah, and so I'm really glad that we're getting to shine this light of attention on Reflective Listening Buddies, because the deadline, the last day to register is Friday, this Friday, April the 8th.
This Friday, okay, and then the quarter begins the 15th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then we have the next, you know, week or so to enroll people and do the training calls and all of that prep work before the quarter actually switches over on the 15th.
Okay. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you a little bit about the history of how the project got started, just because I think that's a fun story. But I thought maybe first we should give kind of an overview of what is the project? How would you describe it?
Yeah, so Reflective Listening Buddies is a program that pairs people from different parts of the country or world, really.
Right.
I mean, we've got a lot. We got people in China and all over Europe, and it's and of course all over the United States. It's very, very interesting.
Absolutely.
And so you're paired with someone that you're very likely not to know, and over the course of the quarter, you make weekly phone calls where you speak for 30 minutes total, 15 minutes each person has a turn, where they share whatever is going on in their practice, whatever they want to look at in their life, and the partner just simply reflects. So it's an opportunity to hear back for yourself in a very safe, privileged environment what's going on for you in your life.
So, for example, your partner is not going to say, "Oh, wow, that's really interesting. And then what happened after that? Then what did your husband say after you said that?"
or they're not going to say, "Oh, I know, I've been there too, and here's what I did that really worked." You know, none.
Right. Even as much as occasionally we'd really want someone to do that for us, right?
That's right.
Give us advice, but that doesn't happen. We're left with, just right along in keeping with practice, we're given the gift of being left with our own experience and realizing that we have everything that we need in order to see what we're ready to see in any given moment, and that just having someone reflect that for us is such a way for us to have that mirrored so we can actually see it.
Yes, and you know, in my experience, having that mirror provided for us is something that, at least for me anyway, I couldn't fully appreciate until I experienced it for a while. Because, you know, on the surface, it sounds kind of funny to just call someone and have them just say back to you what you just said, you know? And it's, so it really is kind of a little, what do they call it, counterintuitive. But
yeah.
But it once you do it for a while, and it doesn't really take very long, I experienced a great sense of, peace and camaraderie and understanding and just being, you know, just being heard.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that actually speaks a little bit to the way that the program got started. Could you just kind of briefly tell us that story?
Yeah. Well, there was it was about 5 years ago, or we're about to start our 21st quarter. So it's about a little over 5 years ago.
Wow.
One of the people in the Sangha who had been to a few retreats but lived far away was expressing to the monastery a desire to somehow keep plugged in or keep connected to Sangha, even though, you know, they lived at a great distance. And so somebody just came up with the idea could I call and talk to a monk on a weekly basis? Well, you know, that would be a lovely luxury, you know, if we could all do that. But the monk's time is, you know, relatively called for on many other things. And so that wasn't a possibility. But they were able to be paired with another senior Sangha person and to have that experience. And it was set up in such a way that it would be the privileged environment. So basically mimicking what we what we experience at the monastery. And so that's kind of how it got started, with one person expressing their need and their desire to connect. And through the creative juices of people involved, this all came about.
Yeah, the necessity is the mother of invention, as they say, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, when you were describing it, what I saw, one of the things that I think is so sort of magical about it is that it's equally beneficial to everyone. I know that, I believe as the coordinator, you make an effort to pair people who maybe have done, you know, several quarters and are kind of used to the routine with people who are brand new, and that it benefits everyone, no matter kind of if you're brand new to the program or if you've been doing it forever. There's such a richness in coming together as Sangha and sharing in that way.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, one of my favorite parts is when we do kind of get new people into the program, and my little mother hen, the subpersonality, gets to come out, because we really do carefully walk them through a training process and then pair them with someone we know is going to be, you know, a strong person, or we know that's going to be, give them a really good experience of the program, and it's just a really, I find it to be a real nurturing, supportive entree into this practice. You know, for someone who maybe has never even been to the monastery, it's a real easy way to come into the practice.
Well, and I know we'll have people all the time come on, especially say a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, who's never been on retreat with us before, but maybe has been in the Reflective Listening Buddies program for a while. So there's certainly a number of people who do the program without having come on retreat first. And I think it's a nice compliment. Even you definitely don't have to have done retreat before you do the program.
Yeah, I love hearing that. That's neat that they come then on retreat following up an experience with this program.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And you just alluded it to a minute ago, but if someone is brand new and doesn't even know what reflective listening is, it's not an issue, because they are walked through kind of a training process. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's really a kind of a quarter long. The training opportunities never stop, but here's how it starts. So let's say you register. You go online and you sign up not knowing anything about the program. The first thing is, after the registration deadline, the next day or so, you'll get an email from the Reflective Listening Buddy office saying, welcome, here are the two training call possibility times. If you're brand new, you really have to be on one of those calls, and then it gives you all the information. So then you'll reply and say, okay, I can be on this one or on this one. And then at that time, and we also have a lot of old timers and, you know, veterans in the program who are also on the call. So then we have an hour long conference call where we walk through, we model what reflective listening is. We talk a lot about what the privileged environment is. We talk about the do's and don'ts, and ultimately how it's impossible to do this program wrong, because it's all practice.
Yes.
And we give lots of times for questions and answers, and then at that point, if people go through the training call and then decide, oh no, I think I better wait, or I, you know, whatever, they still can, you know, they can still opt out if they need to. It's not like you're, you know, bound and gagged and yeah. So then we give people the opportunity to say, yes, I do indeed still want to participate. And at that point, then we take them and pair them up and send out their partner assignments a few days afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, and then
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think, and then the ongoing part of the training and support is that monthly we have these conference support calls that everyone in the program is required to participate in at least one over the course of the quarter. And it's just a check-in. And it's like being at group at the monastery. One of the monks facilitates, and they open it up for us to talk about and look at whatever we want to look at, whether it's specifically related to reflective listening, what we're experiencing, or if it's just stuff in our practice and in our life that we want to get some facilitation with.
And I confess, we love it.
I can see why.
It is so much fun. Because as you say, it really is. It's like having group with, you know, hundreds of people out there, wherever they are, all over the world. And we get to just get on this call and join and talk about the program or talk about whatever we're seeing in our practice. And what a pleasure.
Yeah, that's neat. I can sure see how that would be a ball. to facilitate as well as to participate
in. It really is. It just it's such a simple program, and yet it's people tell us all the time what a profound impact it has. And I know, from being on the facilitator end of it, and then, people who are really experienced, people who are brand new, it's just everyone all the way along the spectrum benefits from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of the responses that we've heard, I guess I kind of always need to say we've heard many glowing, wonderful things. And I want to also acknowledge that it's also a time where conditioning really kicks up. So, it's not always a cakewalk. You don't always feel like you're just glowing in this bliss of reflective listening. There's often resistance and difficulty remembering the calls and all of this stuff. Even showing, but in this supportive environment, that is all just grist for the mill. It's just all practice,
I'm really, really glad you said that, because I could imagine someone signing up and saying, wait a minute, I don't feel all that bliss they were talking about on the radio show.
I know.
But as with every practice opportunity, I mean, it really is designed for that, and it's created as a container within which all of that can come up. Because if what we're doing is a practice of ending suffering, then we need for the ways that we suffer to come up in the context of these practice opportunities. Because if they're only ever coming up kind of out in our lives, and they never come up when we're in the practice, situation, then we don't ever get to see them and have the support of Sangha and work with them. So there's huge opportunity a lot of people talk about the self-consciousness of, they've never done reflective listening before, and conditioning has all kinds of things to say about that. And as you say, maybe they forget the call and the self-hate that goes on around that. But again, the opportunity to have all of that arise and then get on a call and hear, oh my gosh, everyone else is having that same thing happen, and it's just fine, is such a great, it's just a great chance to see through the lies that conditioning is always telling us.
Yeah, for me, that points exactly at what is one of the greatest benefits, is it totally busts up the illusion of separateness. Because I've had a lot of, lot of buddies now, probably a couple of dozen over the years. And the thing that is so remarkable is that I can relate to every single one of them, everything that people say, And so to be reflecting, so many people from so many various backgrounds and everything, and you can, relate to everything. It's like, we really are one. We really are. All so much alike.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm having that experience in the email class right now. Wow. Yep. It's all the same. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I know, me too.
Yeah. That's great.
So it's really just the best invention. There's been many, many times that I kind of marvel at the creative genius of Sherry and this practice and all of the things that have been developed. And among the top things on this list is this reflective listening program for me. I just think something so simple can be so profound.
I really, really agree. And big gratitude to you, Rebecca, for the role that you play in making that happen.
Thank you for being with us tonight. Oh, it's truly my pleasure.
Take good care.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you, and I promise we'll start to clean up our act and turn it over to you on time.
No
problem. Have a great show.
Thank you both.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. I think I'm going to sign up for Reflective Listening Buddies.
Yes, I just did so today.
Did you? Good.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's good. The thing that I loved about it, Jen referenced this at the end, but when they were talking about it's that kind of program, everything we do in this practice, and there are some things that make it clearer than others, make it so obvious that we are all exactly alike.
Yes.
So, you know, here comes a person with this, oh, I don't know, I don't think I can do it, I don't think I'm as smart as other people, I, you know, I'm going to embarrass myself, they're all going to think I'm an idiot, or, you know, and then you find out everybody in the room feels exactly the same way.
Uh-huh.
Or the email class, you know, where just dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people are saying the exact same thing, each one believing that the voices are telling them that because it's really true about them.
Yes.
And then realizing that these are just stock answers that the voices are using. It's just a huge, huge help to our practice.
Indeed. Indeed. Yes. 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 Yes, I've been noticing that in your responses to the email class submissions.
Yeah. Today I got to the point of, you know, speculating about, this is an online, you know, this is a website that the voices go to. You know, they get some sort of training. And, you know, these are the things that you say to a human. And you just repeat them over and over and over and over. And if you can make that human believe that they're never supposed to let anybody else know that they're hearing these voices, then they'll never find out that everybody else is hearing the same voice, and you'll be able to pull this off. So I don't know where that site is, but we need to pull it down.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, thank you for the email class. It's been great so far.
Yeah, it's cooking already.
Yeah, I can tell. Pages are piling up there.
Yes, they are. My little fingers are flying.
They must be. They must be. I have some announcements here.
All right.
You will be at Malaprop's Bookstore in Asheville, North Carolina. That's on May 8th at 5 p.m.
That's right. Following, hard on the heels of the retreat on What You Practice is What You Have in North Carolina, that is being created for the group of folks who went through the first email class called Time to Feel Good. And there are still some spots open. And if somebody is a graduate of that class and wants an experience of a lifetime, I think I can guarantee you that.
Wow.
Yeah. I am so excited. I've said it before. I'm so excited about that. Yeah.
Great. And then at the end of May, you'll be in Rhinebeck, New York, May 27th to 30th, and that's at the Omega Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Folks
Lovely
can register
spot.
Through Omega. Back to California in June for Spirituality in Business. You'll be co-leading a workshop with Mark Lesser at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, and that's the weekend of June 10th through 12th.
Mm.
And then to the monastery. For the middle of July, July 16th through 23rd, that's a Saturday through Saturday, for Not What But How, and that's a retreat that you'll be leading at the monastery.
Yes, on the five processes that are the foundation of our practice.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And then you'll be at Namaste, which is in Felton, California, for a weekend workshop, July 29th through 30th. These are new dates. And this is a fundraiser that for several years now has supported the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes, it's become quite a tradition.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and a really powerful support for the project there in Cantalomba.
Yes, and for people's practice, as
yes.
I attest.
And for all of us. So that's,
yes.
Yeah.
And then back to Esalen in mid-August, August 12th through 14th. This is another weekend workshop. What do these questions have in common? Check on the website to see what those questions are.
Hmm.
And then, soon enough, back for the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on October 1st.
We must all have that on our calendars at this point, right?
I do.
All have it on our calendars, and we are all committed. We're going to fill Chrissy Fields.
Yes, yes. I'm looking forward to it very much.
Too. So fun.
Sherry, I'm going to remind our callers to focus on one topic and conversations of about 5 minutes.
I'll set my timer.
Okay.
Reel myself in.
Okay, great. Let's go to our first caller. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry from San Francisco.
Hey, Sherry.
I'm surprised to be landing here right now all of a sudden.
I know. Well, maybe you're close, and maybe that had something to do with that.
That's right. And, you know, it's also good because in my ongoing practice of just showing up and not planning, it gave me a lot less time to plan anything.
Yes, to not plan. Gave you less time not to plan.
That's right.
Yeah. Good.
Because conditioning was full force as always. No changes there to report.
It's something, isn't it? I mean, I started to say what in God's name fuels it, but we know it fuels it. It's our life force that's fueling it. Golly gee.
I know, but the good thing is I'm not even embarrassed this time. Usually when I call, I'm a little embarrassed, but not this time. I don't really care.
Yeah, and isn't that an important milestone in practice?
Yes.
You know, for a long time, it just tortures us with what are people going to think and what are they going to say and you're going to this and they're going to that. And after you've heard enough times, it's like, yeah, I'm sure. And in my experience, I'll somehow survive.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's been one of the best things, which I didn't realize, but about doing this, you know, when I call in on my, you know, whenever it's my time to call again and just trying to show up. Wow, I just lost my whole train of thought. Oh, I know that it's taught me that I'm fine each time. You know, nobody's written me any nasty notes. Nobody's like, you know, said anything to me. Like,
please don't call in again
right.
unless you have something important to say.
Exactly. It was particularly difficult today though because there has been just like conditioning's really been trying to kick up some storms.
Hmm.
And what I love about saying no thanks, I'm just going to show up is that it didn't give any fuel to any of that.
And so what what happens then? Do they just circle around and say it again? Do they
yes.
try to get creative at all, or are they basically just wait a few minutes and then say the same thing?
Well, it's the same content, but they like to bring in different aspects of it.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's different ways that I've screwed up, but they like to use different, different length.
Yeah, they run through the standard list of things that they accuse you of having done in the past that should serve to prove that you need to listen to them now, or at the very least that you need to be made miserable because these things supposedly happened in the past.
Yes. Well, yes, and most of them are things, you know, they're all just about what a rotten, bad, horrible, lousy person I am, basically.
Yeah, wow.
And so, you know, it was really nice, though. You know, I have to admit I was sort of entertaining them for a while and sort of having this little crying fit. And then I was like, you know, no. You know, and
yes.
Thank goodness.
Yes, I'm a horrible, horrible person. There. Now, are we all happy? Can we move on? You know? I mean, if you went to prison, if it were the old put you in the stocks or – you know, give you so many lashes or a good caning, you know, then it would be over, right? You've paid your debt to society, but with those voices, there is no statute of limitations, there is no amount of punishment that clears the books.
Thank you, Sherry. I mean, that is so true.
Yeah.
It's so true, and it's all like, I don't even really know what I did, you know.
Right. Yeah, so that's why I think just a blanket statement, you know, yes, you're right, I'm a horrible person. And then, okay.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah. And again, it was just so good because I think often what I think I used to do, and, you know, that's fine, but it's like I think what I used to do is sort of, I get all riled up and get in the conversations and I'd be like, okay, well, it's going to be okay because I can call, you know, I'll talk to someone about it. But But in some ways, I think it just added fuel to it.
Oh yes. Oh, I agree. I had one this morning. I had one of those little life situations that, you know, do come along periodically. We just don't enjoy, but we can count on them happening periodically. And I had that moment of realization that in the past I would have wanted to call somebody and tell them, you know, just rant and rave and carry on about,
yeah,
you know, this went wrong and that went wrong and blah 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 blah. And instead, to just be able to pick up the recorder and say, this is what's going on and this is how I'm feeling. And you know, by the time I got to the end of the, you know, what I had to say about it, it was gone. The energy was dissipated. You know, didn't have to. There was just nothing left of it. It was just over. And that's to me, that's a powerful alternative to getting anybody else involved, getting the voices involved. No, I'm not that bad. I didn't mean to. Well, you know, other people think I'm, you know, that's not fruitful. You know, calling up a friend and complaining about whatever it is, that there's karma that lingers in that. So, yeah, I think just deal with it in the moment. Talk to the mentor. Let it go.
Yeah. And also, like, again, I'm just struck with this sense of gratitude right now to just be able to have this space. Like, this is so wonderful. You know,
yeah.
Just to call and, you know, not have the voices, they're there in the background, but I mean, it's just to be here.
Yeah, and you know, here's a little encouragement, okay? I'm sure you must have a calendar.
Yes,
someone
I do.
Else? Okay, so, I happen to know you, so I know you're an artistic type. So what you do is decorate today on your calendar and designate it the day that all my sins and crimes have been atoned.
Oh, it's
probably a preposition that I should dangle at the end of that sentence, but you know what I mean. Okay, this is the day, right? I've been punished. I've suffered. I've seen the light. I know. I get it. The past is dead and gone. It's over. This is. As we used to say in the 60s, the first day of the rest of my life. Okay? And then when this month is passed, you know, don't fold that over. Frame it. Okay? Frame it because you want to remember that on this day, was it April 5th, 2011, you got out of prison.
Oh, Sherry, that is so beautiful.
Yeah, and so when they start up again, you just say, oh, I'm sorry. That's irrelevant because that happened before April 5th, 2011, and we've already taken care of all of that.
Oh, I am going to do it. I love that. Wow, who knew that I would call and be let out of prison? And it's
see
great.
There? Yeah, yeah. So that's good. I hope anybody listening for whom that's appealing we'll do the same thing. It's Liberation Day. What day is today? We're starting.
Yay.
Starting fresh.
Thank you so
you
much.
So
that was
welcome.
Just what I needed. That
excellent.
Was wonderful.
Excellent.
Thanks. Have a great show, you guys.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, you two were making me laugh there. That was fun.
I think that's a good idea. I
think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a break here to listen to our sponsors so people could get started on that.
Exactly. Find your calendar, get your markers.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Susan.
Hey, Susan.
And, yes, and I'm calling back to report in with the assignment you gave me about what the payoff was in maintaining the same patterns, and you gave me a hint that it wasn't good.
That just because I said payoff, don't assume it's a, what we would say is a positive thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I needed to look up the definition of payoff, too, and I wanted to really work on this project, you know, my assignment. But it didn't take me long to figure it out, and that it just really keeps me stuck in duality and believing the voices. And abandoning different aspects of myself and keeping the voices of self-hate at center stage.
Good for you.
And also fear, center stage. And the things that exist when I'm caught is just unhappiness, anxiety, fear, isolation, no voice, off-center. Frustration, seeking approval, edginess, all kinds of.
Yeah. Yeah. Every
wonderful
room that
payoff.
Hell, every room that hell contains.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just like that feeling that the last caller had was just in talking with you. It's like you give us permission to drop it. And
So are you going to mark today on your calendar as well, the day that you got out of prison?
Yeah, I think I am. At first I thought, that doesn't apply to me. I can't do that, you know, but I thought, why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
But it is so interesting now because I'm just really so much more on to that now, and that it, it just draws so much attention, and then the voices that are associated with that process that gets me hooked. And
so you
so
can
sad.
Now hear them as part of a concerted effort, right? That they're all part of a campaign.
Yes, with that theme of loneliness.
Yeah.
And yeah. And it's just so amazing how subtle it is, because it can just be this very subtle shift.
Yeah.
Just from one, maybe a memory, some sad event, and it just starts growing very subtly.
Yeah.
And before I know it, there's this pit in my stomach of utter loneliness and isolation and the whole thing.
Despair.
It's right there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it reminds me when you were talking about that of people training animals. You know, some people will, like with a dog, train the dog, you know, with a stick. But the training can get so subtle that there's just a tiny little movement mm-hmm. and the animal knows what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate trains a human.
Yeah.
So sometimes, of course, when I talk to people about voices, they go, what voices? Now, of course, some people say what voices because they just haven't noticed that their head is just, you know, full of screaming voices all of the time. But other people, it's because the training is so complete that it really is just a flicker of a sensation, and they know exactly what that means and how they're supposed to feel, what it says about them, how they need to react.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, what it says about them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was something that I really could see, that I was creating a picture of myself that was not very attractive.
Yes.
In
well,
this situation
they were creating that for you.
Yes, they
you
were creating that for me. And it is all part of that, you know, that whole picture of that creates this whole scenario that has so much, what do you call it, so momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a little rock starts up at the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it hits the bottom, it's taken half the mountain with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting. And how it kind of drags around these subs in this duality play.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just working on the email class before the show started. And somebody used the image of aspects of their personality, sub-personalities, caught in chains.
Uh-huh.
And it was just so poignant to think of it that way. And I would say so accurate.
Yeah.
And so here are all of these parts of you that we could say are pretty much chained and locked into a dark place.
Yeah.
And now you're setting about the task of exploring that dark place, turning on the lights, opening the windows.
Yeah.
And starting to get those folks out of those chains.
Right. Yeah, you know, one thing that dawned on me just before I called was when I was at the monastery once, you made a suggestion about one of my subs was, you know, and kind of gave me something to ponder, and I kind of realized that one of the subs is like my skin almost.
Yes.
And
yes.
And it's really hard to tell.
Yes. It feels like the real me.
Uh-huh. And I just was thinking that somehow or another, I have a feeling that is in an interplay in all this scene, because this loneliness, this sadness has been with me all my life. I mean, it was really accentuated in the circumstances that happened in our marriage and I'm not quite sure what it is exactly. I have to ponder that one some more, I think.
Yeah. Well, and to look at, so you mentioned when we talked last time about your son coming to visit, and the two of you were, I think you were cooking together,
mm-hmm.
and how much you enjoyed that, and how happy you were, and that sort of thing. And so it feels to me like it would be really important for you to find those situations in your life to compare to this other experience. Because, do you know what I'm, was that vague enough? So in other words, it seems like your skin may be that loneliness and that whole thing, right?
And that expanding my experiences in other ways. That part that was enjoying that is something that I can respect
and grow. Yeah, that it may not be true. I mean, the thing that makes me suspicious about that is that karmic conditioning, of course, feeds off of your unhappiness. And so making you believe that that's just kind of who you are, that deep down you're this kind of lonely, sad, depressed, whatever it is, person,
mm-hmm.
would really serve it well.
Mm-hmm.
But what if that's not true?
Yeah.
What if before that, a more authentic part of you is the part that responds to your son or responds to, being at the monastery maybe, or just to look around in your life, being with the children.
Yeah.
That to look around in your life and see the places that could prove to you that being lonely and unhappy is not the deepest part of you.
Yeah. And like your suggestion of finding fulfillment, and I guess that I do love my work with the young, with children. You know, I do love that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are aspects, of course, I don't. And I, you know, you really can't be depressed and down and all that. I find that it really is a very, it asks me to be present.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I do really enjoy that. And like you say, I love going to the monastery.
Yeah.
And I love practice.
Yeah.
And I think about it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you might be, it might be a little scam going on of it trying to make you believe that, you know, it's kind of like, well, all those things are well and good, but you know who you really are underneath all of that. What you're going to come back to is this other thing. That just might not be true.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you, too. There's something that keeps coming up for me about the Africa Project. And I get kind of emotional. I started a school here. And I know it would probably be more of actually a learning experience for me. You know, it would just be but sometimes I don't know whether it's just a kind of this daydreaming or something, but of sharing just what I know about the kindergarten and all the things that we do and the little circle games and all those kinds of things, you know, it gets me kind of excited. And when I look at the blog and all the children and everything, it just gets me really excited.
I just had this little thing go through that maybe you and your son would be good candidates to come over there on a trip.
That would be fun.
Something to consider.
Yeah. I know he's going back to school in the fall, but he has a couple years to go. But he's totally game for things like that. And I'll talk to him about it. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, you keep watching, and then
okay. You
report back in again, huh?
Oh, I will.
Yeah,
I will.
It's an ongoing kind of thing we're doing here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank you for peeling the helping to pull up the edge of the layers.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And take good care of yourself, would you?
Oh, I'll work on that.
No, okay. Don't work on it. Don't just work on it.
Oh, yeah. That's
do it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'll decorate the day.
There you go. There
yeah.
you go. And you know, Susan, one of the things that I'm sure I must have said this to you 100 times because It would just be the kind of thing that would come up when I would talk to you. But you know, if you have any doubts, if you ever have any doubts about how you want to take care of you, just think about a couple of those little kids and imagine how you want them to be treated, what you want them to know, how you want them to feel, and then you'll have your program for her. Got
That's
it?
That's a good idea. Well, thank you so much, Sherry.
You're very welcome. Good night.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And, Sherry, we have another caller.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, Michael and Sherry. This is Nancy from Texas.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi.
Well, it just, as each call has unfurled, I've thought, oh, that was part of my answer, and then that was part of my answer. So I love the get out of jail free card. I am, or I've served my sentence card.
Uh-huh.
And then my next thought was that often I don't even hear the voices. I just feel guilty.
Yeah.
But then you answered that with, I'm so thoroughly conditioned that I don't even need to be told I've done something wrong. I just am habituated to that.
Yeah. Yep.
That feeling.
Yeah. And in fact, we get so conditioned that it never occurs to us to say, what? You know, what have I done? No,
well,
no,
if
no,
I
no,
did,
no.
Then
not
that's
what have I done 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I can't do anything about that. What am I doing right now that I should feel bad about?
I could hear a lot of voices around that.
Uh-huh. Which would be good because that's how they reveal themselves.
Well, and that just occurs to me, okay, turn and face them then and say, all right, let's see if any of this is valid.
And, of course, my favorite perspective on what business is it of yours?
I'm only trying to make you a better person.
Yeah, well, go make somebody else a better person. Yeah.
That's
make, or... Or be a Buddhist about the whole thing. Make yourself a better person.
Oh, there you go.
You know, we don't train other people. We train ourselves. So.
And I just I got chased on my bicycle by some dogs today, and I suddenly thought of that. Make you a better person, kind of like the dog going, "I'm only trying to make you a better bicyclist."
Right. Teach you how to ride really fast with your legs on the handlebars.
Your legs on the handlebars. And I think, you know, and the funny thing is, I think over the years, I have done a great many things that I would not do anymore.
Absolutely.
That's
how we learn that they're not the things we want to do.
Right, by that feeling. And now I think when that feeling comes up, I can actually look and see if there's anything in my life that's like that. Just go take care of it.
Yeah.
And let go of needing to feel like I'm guilty and going to get caught all the time.
Right, right. That's such a good point. So if there's something that I'm doing that is unskillful or unkind or lacks compassion or whatever it is, I'd like to have that information so that I can not do that anymore. What does feeling bad have to do with it?
Oh, that just is so nice. Because it's almost like the feeling guilty makes me feel like it's so bad that I can't take care of it, and then I repeat the behavior.
Yes. I would agree. I think that's very astute. I think a lot of folks get trapped in that. So I do something. I feel bad. I feel bad. I feel bad. I feel bad. I get a suggestion of something to do to make me feel better. I do that thing. It was the wrong thing to do. I get punished. I feel bad. I feel bad. I feel bad. And it's just a nasty loop that a person can get caught in.
Right. And it's kind of what I'm seeing right now is there's this place where I so assumed what I had done was bad that it never occurred to me to go to the person and say, hey, by the way, would it be okay to do this?
Absolutely. Or whether it's okay with them or not, it doesn't feel good to me, so I don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
You know, but to look at, just to take feeling bad out of the equation.
And then I get all my back. And then I get all my power back.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
And a lot of life force.
Yep. Yep. Well, how cool.
Yeah.
The third piece, thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. Anytime.
Okay. Well, that said, I'll just say thanks to both of you guys and go on listening with bated breath.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
Good.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Linda from Alabama.
Linda.
Hey.
What's going on?
Well, I'm calling in because I've been wanting to, and I keep being told not to, and so I thought, well, I'll do it. And I, as I've been sitting here, listen to the call. It's interesting. I have this trouble with anxiety, and it's like, okay, since I started this practice and I do the email classes and stuff like that, it's like I can actually get to center sometimes, which is really cool. But then there are other times when I have this anxiety and it's like I can't get there, and I don't really have any voices, any words that go with it.
There are no words that go with it, but what does it mean?
What does it mean?
Mm-hmm. In other words, you know it's anxiety.
Right.
So it must mean something.
So I was feeling it while I was waiting. So, and I could, and I was having the same sort of experience where I can't, kind of can't get, I was trying, sort of trying to go to center, and I can't get it to go away. And I guess it's fear. I mean, it's like I'm afraid. I always feel like I'm afraid that something bad's going to happen. Or does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So when that feeling is there, and it's kind of in your solar plexus.
Yeah, or right around my heart, or yes,
and,
I'm not sure where my solar plexus is.
So
suddenly.
Say what?
I said, I'm not sure where my solar plexus is all of a sudden.
Oh, okay. Well, I...
Right in the center, sort of.
Yeah, it's kind of where the ribs come together there at the bottom.
Actually, it's at the top.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Third chakra. And so, what does it feel like there?
Tight.
Tight?
Tight and scary.
Scary. Okay, so what does scary feel like?
just like everything's tensed up, like everything's waiting for something to happen.
Okay. So everything is now. Are other muscles tensed up besides that solar plexus, third chakra area?
Yeah, my jaw, generally jaw, my jaw. Usually the whole, whatever side of the body it is that's doing that on, there'll be several parts of that side of the body that are.
So it's on one side or the other.
Yep, it usually is.
Oh, that's really interesting. And so there's tension, probably shoulder, neck, all of that. And that means there's something to be afraid of.
Right. Now it seems that way, although I have no clue what it is. I mean, except that sort of feeling that maybe that's answering the question, sort of like when I was a kid and I got in trouble a lot. You know, I was always in trouble, and I didn't really know what I was going to do to make that happen. It was just, I knew I was going to be in trouble.
Uh-huh.
So that would point it to being a subpersonality. Because one of the things I keep kind of doing is, this is a subpersonality or is it EKC? Is it a subpersonality or EKC? But if I say it's EKC, I can't make it go away, which it seems like I should be able to. Like, kind of like when I hear a voice and I know that's EKC, then I just go, okay, that's EKC, and it goes away.
Yeah.
Well, but this doesn't do that.
No, this, and of course, this is a bigger habit.
Right.
It's bigger karma. So do you have a sense when it's on one side or the other that there's anything about that? Or is it just randomly it seems like it's on one side or the other?
To me, it's just randomly it's on one side or the other.
Okay.
It tends to stay on the right side more. But
okay. Okay.
And it sometimes becomes a migraine and stuff like that, too. So it becomes like actual pain sometimes, although right now it's more just tension.
Okay, so it'll just kind of go up your neck and into your head and you've got a migraine.
Right, sometimes it does.
Okay. Okay, and no stories, no thoughts, no memories, no anything that goes with it. It's just the feeling that's there, the tightness, the tension, and you know you don't like it.
Right, that's pretty much it. I mean, I can make a story for it if I go into it enough, like the story that it's because when I was a kid, I was always in trouble and I never knew when it was going to happen. And,
yeah, which is probably pretty valid, actually.
Right.
You know, because that's a big part of childhood. Is having no clue what sets those people off.
Right.
And they it always seems sudden, you know, that you never get any warning. It's just out of the blue all of a sudden. Yeah. And, of course, the other thing that's so fiendish about it is that usually as a little kid, you're really present when that happens. You know, kids are present.
Right.
And so here you are, present, and then all of a sudden the boom drops, and what we learn to do is not be present, but instead always be fearful and watching.
Right. Hypervigilant,
yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, exactly. And so here's my encouragement. Trying to get rid of it is about the fastest way you can imagine to keep it.
Okay.
All right. And so what I want you to do, should you choose to, is instead of trying to get rid of it, going into it.
Okay.
And so the attitude is much like if you had an animal that had been abused and it's tight and tense and fearful and that sort of thing.
Right.
The way that you would try to gain its trust and calm it down would be just to speak very softly and soothingly to it.
Right.
And so that's what I'd like for you to do with that part of your body. So you
okay.
could even, you like dogs?
Yes.
Okay. So you could imagine a dog curled up there, you know, just kind of picture a dog who's been abused.
Right.
And the big eyes and the cowering and the fearful. And you just talk to that creature. And not try to get close to, you know, not make any fast moves that would be startling or frightening, but just to talk, just to soothe, just to comfort, just to you know, I'm here, it's okay, you're all right, nothing's going to hurt you, it's okay, like that.
Okay.
And make a welcome place in your life for those feelings.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the thing you know is they don't mean something bad is going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
I know that for sure.
Yeah, because bad stuff happens.
I've proven that to myself so many times.
Yeah. We're all anxious and nervous. Nothing happens. And then you're just going along on a bright, sunny day and,
right.
by a car. So, so we don't have to believe those voices that try to make us think it's that's there for any good purpose or it's serving us or anything like that.
Okay.
All right?
All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
Let me know.
All right, I will. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Becca from Baltimore.
Becca, how are you?
I am doing really well.
Good. Tell me about doing really well.
Well, I had the opportunity to really see how I caused myself to suffer.
Ooh. Now
and,
that's a big time, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It felt so good. So let me give you just a little bit of content.
Okay.
I can't make it to the very special retreat.
Aww.
And I wanted to so badly, and I couldn't. And I made myself a promise that if I couldn't make it, for whatever reason, that I was going to be okay with that. And so it became clear that I wasn't going to be able to make it, and I started grieving, of course, over the lost opportunity, and I was so sad. But somewhere in that sadness was that promise that I made to myself that I wasn't going to allow it to get to this point of suffering, that I was going to accept it. And what happened in that was that I said to myself, okay, this is an opportunity to see how I caused myself to suffer, which is, of course, the very last thing that I wanted to hear at that moment. But I listened to it, and I started to open up into that experience of seeing how I caused myself to suffer. I recorded and I listened, and up came this wonderful intuition that I don't have, this happens to me all the time, I have the willingness but not the means. And that doesn't mean that the little girl with the willingness gets beat up. And that's the thing. Usually what happens is I don't have the means, and the little girl who says, but I'm willing, gets beat up. So I stepped in between and I said, you know, I have the willingness but not the means, and that's okay.
Uh-huh.
So
that's not anybody's fault.
Mm-mm. It's not anybody's fault, and it's okay.
Wow. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the powerful piece of that, I mean, you've really laid out awareness practice quite beautifully there. So you see what's going on, you watch, right? You see what
mm-hmm.
the components are, you see what's being done to whom,
mm-hmm.
and then step in between and stop the abuse.
Mhm. Yep. Mhm. And create a safe space for that little person to grieve, cuz yeah. it is a grieving.
Sure.
But that's okay. And what was really beautiful about it, Sherry, was the minute that came to me, it became my mantra. Because I've been on before, and I've talked about my health, and usually my health is the means that I don't have. Like, I've been looking forward to going to this show or a friend's birthday party, and it comes up, and I don't have the health to go.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is the cycle that I saw that day was that I would have this moment of clarity when I'd know that I shouldn't go. And as soon as that decision was made and it was impossible to change, I would get beaten up for it. And I would suffer for hours and hours and hours, just so sad that I missed out on the opportunity. And it was just a source of great suffering for me. And ever since I had that realization, first of all, when things come up now and that clarity comes through that it's not a good idea for me to go for whatever reason, I accept it and I don't suffer. But there's all these other things in my life that I've been carrying around with me that I've felt so guilty and horrible and bad for all these years that now I can apply this idea to, and they're falling away like dominoes, Mary.
Got cold chills on that one.
Yeah. So
somebody has been being tortured for all of this stuff that had nothing to do with her.
Absolutely.
And now you're setting her free.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a beautiful thing. I started to say that's a beautiful story, but it's not a beautiful story. It's a beautiful reality.
Oh, thank you, Sherry, so much. And so what came up too for me in that moment when I was with that little girl, she said she had to call Sherry and tell Sherry personally that she can't make it, but she really, really wants to be there, and that she'll see her soon. And that she's okay. She really wanted you to know that she's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So. And now I know she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In good hands.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's excellent. And, you know, we can't know anything, of course, but it'll be really interesting to see what happens with the help.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Oh, my goodness, yes, because I can already see it, because all that suffering just made me worse.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sleep, and I would cry and cry and cry for hours, because a lot of times my husband would leave me here to go to our friend's birthday party, and I just cry and cry and cry the whole time he was gone. And how that was helping my health, of course it wasn't. So, or just accepting that this is the health that I've been given for whatever reason, and to see it as an opportunity to build compassion for other people,
and to take care of all of those folks inside. Mm-hmm. Just give them the best possible life of love and care and nurturing that that anybody could ever hope for.
Absolutely. Yeah, it feels really good.
So happy.
Yeah, me too. So it's kind of funny for me to sit and say that I'm not going to get to go to the retreat, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Huh. But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So. Well, thank you so much for letting me know. And I know that I don't even have to say take good care of her, because I know you are.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Thank you so much. And I'm just so glad I got to talk to you.
Me too. Me too. And I look forward to seeing you somewhere before long.
Oh, yes. There's the next one maybe, or somewhere else in the future. It's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. So.
All right. Good.
Yes.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Bye, Michael. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Becca. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And, Sherry, it's just about 6 o'clock.
Well, thank you, Michael, for being there for us for another week.
Oh, it's a great pleasure and privilege.
For me.
And thank you for joining us, too. It's great.
Yeah, it is. It's a good arrangement. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.